And now, if you will turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. While you're finding your place, may I remind you of your opportunity to study God's Word in the training program this evening at 6, to worship the Lord in the Sunday evening worship hour at 7. The midweek services are very important. I hope that you'll be in your place. The various departments are having their Christmas get-together, many of them at 5 and again at 5:30, some of them this evening. I trust that you'll keep that in mind. And then next Sunday, our Sunday school, as usual, 10 o'clock. I hope that you'll be working this week, in spite of all of the busy activities, to be in your place and to have someone with you to worship the Lord next Sunday, Christmas Eve day. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading at verse 19. But before we read the scriptures, I'm going to ask you to pause with me for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for these moments of worship, for the unselfishness on Thy part to give us this opportunity. We thank Thee for the faithfulness of Thy people. We thank Thee for the power of the gospel of Christ. And now as we read together from Thy blessed book, and as we worship Thee, cause a holy hush to be upon us, and help us to realize that we are in Thy house to serve Thee. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. Jesus is speaking in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to listen to what He has to say. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that is, of a single purpose, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, If God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take therefore no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And here is my text. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first, F-I-R-S-T, in every person's life here today, something or someone is first. Everything else takes a second or a third or a fourth or a fifth place. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. A little boy went, and you've heard this story because I've told it, but it seems so fitting now. The little boy went into the bank and he laid down $4 on the bank counter and said to the teller, I want you to open an account and put it in the name of John J. Williams and Company. And the teller scratched his head and he said, Johnny, I know who John J. Williams is, but tell me if you will, who is the company? And little Johnny said, the company is God. Oh, but that ought to be the attitude of every believer. That all that we have, which comes from God, ought to be his to use as he sees fit. I want to talk to you this morning about this thought. In business with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Now I've got a question for you. If you as a believer and as a child of God cannot trust God for clothes, for food, for all of the needs of your physical life, pray tell me, how did you ever trust him with your never dying soul? In business with God. I want to call your attention about three things that I believe are involved in our being in business with God. First of all, it is a business that cost heaven its most priceless treasure. Secondly, it is a business that demands my deepest devotion and yours. And finally, it is a business that pays dividends in time and for eternity. A business that cost heaven its most priceless treasure. Jesus said this, the kingdom of God shall be likened unto a merchant man who goes on a quest to find the pearl of great price. And when he has found it, he sells all that he has and buys the pearl of great price. Beloved, God, seeking out of the great family of the human race, a people to be called by his own name, is like that merchant man who gave everything he had to purchase you, the pearl of great price. Now, God's plan of redemption is not anything cheap, beloved. God's plan and God's program of redemption is the most elaborate transaction that the world has ever known anything about. For to give one's son, one's only begotten son, is to pay the ultimate price. And that is precisely what God did. Did it ever occur to you how much of an investment God has in you? Let me ask you again. Have you ever thought about it this way? How much it cost God for you to be saved? God is concerned about you. He's concerned about the lilies of the field. We just read it. And he clothed them. He's concerned about the birds that fly through the air that bring us the song of the morning. And he feeds them. He's concerned about you. And if you will live up to the terms of his contract, seeking the kingdom of God first, he will feed you and clothe you and bless you beyond measure. Amen. A man said to me yesterday, last night, Brother Barber, I asked him how he was doing and how long he'd been out of work, and I knew he'd been out for some time because he had been a very sick man. You know what he said to me? He said, "Wife and I agreed, Brother Barber." He's a member of a neighboring church. He said, "Wife and I agreed that when I was sick and I had to be out of work for months, that we'd just keep on and draw out of our reserve and keep on putting our tithe in just like we were drawing it." He said, "You know, today I'm not working for the other man. I'm working for myself. God has blessed me so much." Some of you know who I'm talking about. We decided that we would keep on giving, and now I'm in business for myself. I'm talking to you about being in business with God. When God saw man's plight and man's ruin, he didn't send an angel. He didn't send a seraphim or a cherubim. He sent his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John writes, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world." John writes in his first epistle again, chapter 4, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us," and get it now, "and sent his son to be the propitiation," and that simply means mercy seat, place of sacrifice, "for our sins." Paul puts it this way, "But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us." Paul says again, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And I think Paul summarizes the whole thing in the 8th chapter of Romans, where he says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" In business with God cost heaven the most priceless treasure that it had. Someone came to a pastor one day whose son had been killed in an automobile accident. And wringing his hands, he said, Pastor, tell me, Pastor, where was God when my boy died in that car?" And that pastor said, "Daddy, God was where he was when his son died on that cross." In business with God cost heaven the best it had. Secondly, this is a business that demands your deepest devotion. It demands my soul. When I search the contract of this divine human agreement and business, I discover that God's business and my business with Him demands my soul. It demands my heart and my life. It demands my energy, my strength, my all. Because Paul writes to me and to you, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." We talk about my house and my bank account and my car and my clothes and my children and my family. No, it's God's. He's brought us into an agreement to share with us all that He has. A business that demands. Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross occasionally. Perhaps on Sunday." No. Daily, and follow me. God is the senior partner in this business. He is possessor of heaven and earth, and from His bountiful store, He has provided all of the capital necessary to put us in business. I hasten to tell you that He created me by His breath. He saved me by His blood. He preserves me by His power. Therefore, everything that I have today must be His, because He gave it me, and all that we have comes from Him. He opened a bank account in heaven, and He put it in my name. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Back in the year 1893, you talk about a reserve. We've got it this morning in grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace, marvelous grace, infinite grace. Grace that covers all our iniquities and all our sins. Where sin doth abound, thanks be unto God, grace doth much more abound. It covers all of our ugliness, all of our ungodliness, all of our unchristlikeness. In 1893, the great panic came, and Philip Armour, the president of the Armour Company, had just begun. And just beyond his plant was a little bank where all of his employees who had utmost confidence in him, and of which he was a director, kept their money, their savings. And one day about noon, a run was made on the bank, and everybody went running to the bank to get out their savings in the time of panic. And when they went to the bank and found the doors closed, they went back to the factory, screaming and demanding their money. And Philip Armour, a born-again believer and a Christian man, And a man in whom they had confidence came out to the front of that plant and hushed that mob that was crying for their money. And said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I will personally see to it that not one dime of your money shall be lost. And in the meantime, I will supply everything that you need." Oh, I thought that when the run comes on the reserve of grace, that my president of my business stands in the battlements of glory, and he says to me, and he says to you, "I will see to it that you suffer not one loss, and I'll take care of all of your needs. My grace is sufficient for you." That's what Brother Hansel and I told a young couple that stood looking through the glass in Harris Hospital last Tuesday night at a little baby, 3 weeks old, that couldn't go home because it was ill. And for 3 long weeks they've gone and looked in that glass to see this baby. And I said, "Mother and Daddy, hear me when I tell you that the grace of God is sufficient for this hour." That's what I said to Bill Fox as we stood on a cold, wet grave yesterday morning. And their firstborn, who lived less than 3 hours, was there in the little beautiful casket with the flowers all around it. I said, "Bill, hear me when I say it. God's grace is sufficient for you." Oh, that grace that we can draw upon in the hour of our trials and troubles and heartaches. And our bank of reserve of the grace of God shall never be closed. It shall never be exhausted. It shall never be spent. That's why, beloved, this business demands the best devotion that we have. The deepest devotion. The highest admiration. The greatest involvement. Because this is a business that pays dividends in time and for eternity. A rich man came to Jesus once and asked him about the commandments, and Jesus said, "You know what they are." And when Jesus told him what he would have to do, he turned and walked away, because the Bible says he was very rich. He was very rich. And Peter said, "Lord," now you might think when the preacher gets up and says, "Well, give your money because it'll pay you off dividends in time and eternity," that he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just trying to get a big offering. Well, if I am trying to get a big offering, it's just to train your children and your grandchildren and send the missionaries around the world. Amen. But I'm going to show you from the words of Jesus how this is going to pay you off. Peter said, "Lord, we've left our homes. We've left our farms. We've left our sheep. We've left our nets. We've left our families. We've left mother and daddy and everything to follow you." You know what Jesus said? And you'll read it, beloved, in the gospel. Jesus said, "No man has ever left homes or mother or daddy or family or brother or sister or lands or stocks or anything else to follow me, who will not receive," get it now, "in this time 100-fold, amen, and in the world to come, life everlasting." Amen. That's a business that pays off, amen, in time and for eternity. And God will never go bankrupt, and his contract does not expire at the end of the year. His contract doesn't expire when my cold form is laid here in death. His contract carries me to the glory world. In time, he says to me, "As thy days are, so shall thy strength be." In time, he says to me, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but go with thee all the way, even to the end of the age." In time, he says to me, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. In time, he says to me, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. He says to me in time, 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. It pays in time, and it pays in eternity. When he sees fit to dissolve this earthbound contract and partnership, he's going to take me into the eternal company, an unending contract. And Jesus put it this way, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And Paul adds this to it, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." No sickness, no sadness, no death, no hospitals, no funeral homes, no premature nurseries, no premature graves. And there'll never be any taxes up there, and the rent shall never come due. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. How beautiful heaven must be when time on earth is no more and the earthly partnerships have been dissolved. Into eternity I shall go with my president, who has the company in his hand. And I know that to be in business with him is the greatest thing in all the world. And how can I get in business with him? I hear some soul asking. Here it is. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In business with God. Are you? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this heavenly business. We thank thee that thou hast spared not thine own Son, but delivered him up for us all. We thank thee that Christ died for us. We thank thee that Calvary covers it all. We thank thee for a business like this that we can be engaged in, because we thank thee for a cause that demands the best within us. We want something to give ourselves to, and we thank thee for the cause of Christ that demands our devotion and our love and our adoration and our admiration and our worship and our soul and body and spirit. Oh, we thank thee for it today, and pray that we might be resolved to be a better partner in this business with thee. And should there be those who are not in that business, who have never opened the door of their heart to let Jesus come in, who have never trusted him and anchored their faith in him, may they sign the contract, as it were, today, simply by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who need a church home, that mother and daddy, that young man, that young woman, that boy or girl, who need a church home, bring them today. Those who need to come about for an added portion of grace and strength to pray about this altar, may they come this morning. Even now, may the senior partner, the Holy Spirit, bring them to the place of decision today to be in business with thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. And for his sake, with thanksgiving.